It has been said that in some ways we can compare the church in the Old Testament to the childhood of the church. And in some ways, when we look at the Old Testament scriptures, very often they appear more to us as perhaps a picture book. For there are many, many images that we have in the scriptures of the Old Testament. Now, some of these pictures are reinforced and given to us over again in the New Testament. And one particular picture that's given in various places in the Old Testament and also in the New is the picture of sheep and shepherd. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the context of this chapter is the fall of Jerusalem and the scattering of Israel as a nation. Now, from what you know of Old Testament history, you know that Israel and Judah, the people of God, in the Old Testament went through various periods. At periods they were faithful. At times they then rebelled against God. They were punished. They were often attacked by enemies and so on. And so their history throughout the whole period of the Old Testament was very much one of ups and downs. But we see an increasing declension. We see that as the years go through, we looked this morning at the time of Elijah, when one bad king followed another bad king. You had a bad king and then a worse one followed him. And that pattern continued for much of the history of Israel. And now Israel is facing destruction. And here we have a message from God, initially to the leaders, those who were tasked with the responsibility of pastoring, shepherding the people of God. Now, although this passage refers specifically to Israel as a nation, there are lessons that can be learned and applied to the church of today, and indeed to people in general. There are some very important lessons that we draw from this 34th chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel. And the first lesson that I want us to see tonight, we find in verses 1 to 10. And it is the plight of people without a shepherd. The plight of people without a shepherd. Now, the prophecy that came to Ezekiel was to prophesy against the supposed shepherds of the people of God. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And then it goes on to speak about the kind of activities that these false shepherds had been engaged in. Now, as we look at this, we can understand something of the plight of people without shepherds. The plight of sheep that do not have a shepherd. And I want to draw your attention to four things. There are four evidences of being without a shepherd. Now, that could be applied to Israel. It could be applied to the church of Jesus Christ today. It could also be applied to men and women in the world today. For these four things are evident where there is a lack of faithful shepherding. The first thing is weakness. Weakness. The people described here were without strength. They had no strength. They had no strength because they were not being fed. The shepherds were taking the food that should have gone to the sheep for themselves. And so it left the sheep without food. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. So they are weak. They are without strength. If you think about this in a spiritual context, where there is weakness, where there is a lack of shepherding, the people are left without strength to overcome sin. They are left prey to the wiles of Satan. They are left without strength to please God. How do God's people, let's think about it in the context of the church, how do God's people receive strength? They receive strength through the Word. We are to feed upon the Word. How are we to overcome sin? We overcome sin through feeding upon the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his temptations, used the Word of God to defeat Satan. When Satan came to him with his temptations, the Lord Jesus Christ responded with the Word. Why do we become so prone to sin? Because we are weak. We are weak to overcome sin because of a lack of feeding upon the Word. How do we please God? We please God by being obedient to His Word, by doing what He tells us. And for the sinner, just like a sheep that goes astray and falls into a pit. Without a shepherd, he has no ability, no strength to pull himself out of the pit. He needs the shepherd to reach down and to pull him out of the pit. Without a shepherd, being shepherdless brings weakness. But where there is no shepherd, there is also sickness. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Sickness without health. For those who are without God and without hope in this world, for those who know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ as the shepherd of the sheep, the sickness of depravity is upon every part of them. From the crown of their head to the sole of their foot, there is nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And there is no one to bind them up, no one to heal them, no one to care for them. Now we know that men and women in their sin look for so many different ways to heal their sickness. But every one of them fails. Where there is no shepherd, no shepherd to care for them, this sickness of depravity is upon every part. But not only is there weakness and sickness, they are also prone to injury. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Without wholeness, and there is a brokenness that comes from sin. A terrible, terrible brokenness that comes from sin. Man was created in the image and likeness of God. And although that image has been defaced, yet there still should be something of that image in all men. And yet, what do we see? What do we see in our society? What do we see in our towns and cities, our villages and our hamlets? What do we see? Broken men and women. Young people. Lives destroyed by drink and drugs. We see young people disobedient to their parents. We see young people wild, feral youngsters on the streets. We see homes destroyed and broken. Relationships destroyed. And we see it everywhere. Society is broken. There is no shepherd. Being without a shepherd, being shepherdless, leads to weakness, sickness, injury, but also lostness. These sheep were lost. Isn't that what the scripture says? They were scattered because there is no shepherd. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Now I know this is referring to Israel. I know it has a particular application to the people of Israel in the Old Testament. But I'm seeking to apply this in this particular instance to the society in which we live. Lostness. Without direction. No direction. No protection. No care. Men and women today are lost. There is a dreadful, dreadful lostness about men and women today. The endless, reckless pursuit of pleasure. We see it on every hand. Men and women are consumed by pleasure. And pleasure that is absolutely vain. Pleasure that is ephemeral. It doesn't last for more than the moment. They seek direction. They don't know where to find it. There has been a staggering increase in occultism in the last 20 years. There has been a staggering increase in people seeking all kinds of New Age methods to find direction for their life. Men and women, without the shepherd, are weak, sick, injured, lost, and of course ultimately they're dead in trespasses and in sins. But if we apply this, we can see this same lostness, this same plight of being shepherdless in so much of the professing church today. In a spiritual sense, there is spiritual weakness because the word of God is not proclaimed. In churches up and down this land today, men and women have not been fed with the word of God. They have been given little stories. They have been given some kind of moral help. But they have not been fed on the meat of the word of God. And so many of our churches are weak, sick, without health. So much prone to injury, being led astray, brokenness, and a lostness of direction. So many professing Christians today are wandering. They have lost direction. They have lost their faith in the authority of the Word of God. And so they wander. They wander from here to there. The second thing we see in this passage is the provision of a shepherd. From verse 11 onwards, the failure of the appointed leaders of the people to provide properly for them led to their scattering, as we see in verse 5. But God was gracious to his flock in providing a shepherd who would provide adequately for his sheep. And we see here quite clearly the identity of this shepherd. And there can be no mistake about the identity of this shepherd. Look at verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. This is God himself. This is the covenant God, Jehovah. He says, I will seek out my people. I will look for them. I will bring them back. What a great comfort that is for the church, for those that are God's people. I'm not talking about those who simply go along to a church service. I'm talking about God's people. Those who truly are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will search them out. God will bring them out. And for those who currently are in the world but are God's elect people, God will bring them out. God will search them. God will shepherd them. God will direct them. God will lead them out. But not only is this shepherd identified as God himself, he is also identified as the seed of David. Verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Here we have the two natures in the one glorious person of our Redeemer. God says, wandering, lost, sick, weary, weak, but I will provide a shepherd. I myself will provide a shepherd who will feed them, who will bring them, who will restore them, who will rescue them, who will bind them up. I myself will provide this shepherd for them. And we see also the invincibility of the shepherd. There are some wonderful statements in these verses 11 to 16. In these verses there are 12 I wills that are stated in connection with the work of the shepherd whom God would send. Have a look at some of them. From verse 11 onwards. I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. Here we have God himself searching out his sheep. Searching them out no matter where they wander, no matter where they go, no matter where they try to hide themselves. God himself will search them out. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. Not, I will try to build my church. I hope to build my church. I long to build my church. No, I will build my church. And I will call out men and women from every tribe, tongue, and nation. I will call out men and women from this land and that land and the far lands. And I will bring them into my church. I will search them out. But he goes on and he says, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and by all the inhabiting places of the country. You see, God has promised that he will call out his elect. He will call out his people from wherever they happen to be. And he will bring them. And not only will he bring them out of these countries, out of these lands, out of these places, but he will bring them to this good and pleasant land. Look at what he says. I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and all the inhabitant places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and so on. And surely, as God's people, we have this assurance that he will bring us eventually to heaven. He will bring us to that place where we will be with him, where we will see him as he is, when we will be changed into his likeness, when there will be nothing to mar the fellowship that we have with him. He will bring us out of these countries. He will bring us out of these dark places on this cloudy and dark day. And how many cloudy and dark days do God's people have? But God will bring them through that, and God will bring them eventually to his heavenly home as a shepherd. And this work of the shepherd is invincible. It cannot be defeated. But look at what he says. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. What a wonderful picture of what God does for his people. Are there times when we're sick? Times when we're broken? Times when, like these sheep, we need rest? When we need to be fed? And God said, here, I will give you a shepherd who will feed you. I will give you a shepherd who will bind you up. I will give you a shepherd who will guide you. I will give you a shepherd who will lead you. And this shepherd, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, I will seek that which was lost, bring again that which was driven away. I will strengthen that which was sick. How we need the strength of our shepherd to deal with these daily tasks and problems that face us. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So here we have God's goodness in the provision of a shepherd. And this shepherd clearly points to the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd. But there's something else we have in this chapter. We have the plight of sheep without a shepherd, the provision of a shepherd, but then there is the purging of the flock and the presence of a shepherd. From verse 16b and onwards, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, and so on. The shepherd knows his flock. He will judge with righteousness. He will rule and defend them. He will give his tender loving care, his loving guidance, and his sovereign rule to those who are his. But be warned, there are those who appear to be in the flock who are not a part of the flock. And here the scripture teaches about this separation. I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. As for you, verse 16b, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Our shepherd is a discriminating shepherd. Yes, he guides and cares for his own. He loves them, he guides them, he feeds them. He deals so graciously and kindly with them. But this same shepherd deals in justice and judgment with those who are false, with those who pretend to be a part of the flock, but are not. You see, there's a solemn warning here for those who appear to be in the flock, but truly are not. And the final thing is the prosperity granted by the shepherd. The prosperity granted by the shepherd. From verses 25 to 31. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round them, around my hill, a blessing. I will cause a shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing, and so on. God will give his people three things. First of all, he will give them peace. And when we know this shepherd, when an individual knows the shepherd, the gift of the shepherd to that individual is peace. Peace with God through the removal of judgment. Peace in life through the binding of the enemy. Peace. Peace with God. When a shepherd truly looked after his flock, the one thing that the sheep could be assured of was that they would be safe. That the shepherd was there to protect them. The shepherd was there to care for them. The shepherd was there to give them peace. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ gives to all those who trust in him. To all those who are his people. He gives to us peace. No matter what the turmoils of this life, and there are many. There are many things that come in upon us that disturb us, that trouble us, that cause us anxiety and grief. Many are the children of God who go to sleep in tears because of besetting problems and difficulties and trials. And yet, underneath it all, there is peace. There is a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that can overcome trials and problems and pains and difficulties. A peace because we know that God is our God. Because we know that our sins have been forgiven. Because we know that the wrath of God has been removed from us. Because we know that the smile of God is upon us, and that the God who feeds the sparrow is the God who feeds us. To know that the God who cares for the lilies of the field is the God who cares for us. And so there is a peace that nothing can take away. But not only does this shepherd give peace, he gives blessing. Showers of blessing. What do we mean by blessing? What do we mean by showers of blessing? I suggest to you, there are four things. Provision. Provision. This shepherd will provide for all our needs. We shall truly lack nothing when we are being fed and guided and protected by the shepherd. You see, there is nothing that can undo his work. He will protect us. Who is stronger than our shepherd? We are being held in the hand of omnipotence. And who can prize the hand of God away from his people? No one. So the shepherd protects us. And the shepherd provides for us. He is the one who has the cattle upon a thousand hills. They belong to him. And he says, my child, I will provide everything that you need. Who can prevent him? Who can prevent him from feeding us both physically and spiritually? Security. Security. We have total security. I give unto my sheep, said Jesus, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, sometimes when our children are very, very small, and perhaps they're just beginning to walk, we might, in the comfort of our own home, we might reach down our finger, and so the little hand of our son or daughter grabs hold of our finger, and so they begin to walk, and it gives them security. But when we go outside the front door, and there's a busy street, we would never dream of giving our child our finger to hold. We take our hand, our strong hand, and we grasp their tiny hand in our hand, so they cannot run away. And we are being held in the hand of omnipotence. It is the Almighty Sovereign God who holds us. What greater security could we ever have? Freedom. Freedom. What a blessing. Freedom. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the grasp of the enemy. For what does Satan do to us? He destroys us. What does Satan do to those in his grip? He destroys every aspect of their lives. For those who know the shepherd, they have been freed from that. Freedom to walk in the ways of God. Freedom to obey him. Freedom to walk with him. And then there's absence of fear. How many times did Jesus say to his disciples, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The storms are raging around you, but don't be afraid. The enemy is coming in like a flood, but don't be afraid. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, says that to us. You're facing difficulties this week, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There may be difficulties, there may be trials, there may be problems, there may be heartaches. But don't be afraid. Your shepherd is with you. He's guiding you. He's blessing you. He's providing for you. He's dealing kindly with you. And the last thing, peace, blessing, and assurance. I love the closing verses of this chapter. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. God's presence. What else do we need but God's presence? How often do we say, Lord, I can't go unless you go with me. I can't do it unless you come with me. And yet we have been assured of God's presence. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not in the darkest time. Not in the most troublesome time. Not in the times when everyone else has forsaken you. When your father and your mother forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. God's presence. And there's something even more precious than this. God's ownership. He says, you are mine. You are mine. We treasure our precious possessions, do we not? And yet God says of us, us, with all our sins, with all our weakness, with all our failures, God says of us, you're precious to me. You belong to me. I will care for you. I will love you. You see, not only does God own us, but God, through Christ, is committed to us. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God. I am committed to you. Isn't that a staggering thing? That the Lord God of heaven, the one who created the heavens and the earth with a word, this one is committed to you. If you are God's child, if you have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, if you have been born again of the Spirit of God, if you know that you are a child of God, then God says to you, I am committed to you because you are mine. I will feed you. I will guide you. I will protect you. I will love you. I will shepherd you. I will deal kindly with you. And I will bring you at last to your heavenly home. What a wonderful, wonderful message from the sovereign God for us who deserve nothing but his wrath and his condemnation. What a glorious God we truly have. Let's join together in prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we pray that you would take what has been of yourself and apply it by your Spirit to our own hearts. O Lord God, we thank you for our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall lack nothing." And gracious God, help us to go out into this week that lies ahead of us with all that lies before us. And we ask, O Lord God, that we might know that we are being held and guided and led and fed and directed by our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.